listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. Today, we continue our Set Apart to Serve conversation with Pastor Jenks at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ames, Iowa. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin by visiting cuw.edu. Live uncommon. Joining me today, the Reverend Dr. Todd Allen Jenks. He serves at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ames, Iowa. Pastor Jenks, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you. Great to be here. Looking forward to it.
Same here. I'm looking forward to this conversation, learning about how the Lord brought you into the office of holy ministry, how you get to serve as a pastor, and learning about your family as well. And I know there's some exciting things that have grown out of that as well. So let's talk about your journey into ministry. When did you start thinking about becoming a pastor?
That's an interesting question, and I don't know if I can pinpoint an exact day, but during my teen years, my youth years, growing up in Minot, North Dakota, my father was the pastor of the church, and my mom had been a Lutheran teacher until she became a stay-at-home mom for some years. So I was kind of always thinking of ministry, but at that point in time, I was also very interested in broadcasting, interestingly enough. I was a traveling dance DJ, playing record hops across the great state of North Dakota, traveled all around that state. Would have some interesting stories on that, but that's probably a whole different broadcast. So I was trying to figure out where I go with my life and what I do with my life, and I really thought I'd end up in broadcasting. Started in broadcasting at Minot State, up in my hometown, but just felt the constant tug on my heart that maybe the Lord wanted me to do a different type of broadcasting, broadcasting the gospel to his people, serving as a pastor. And ultimately, he led me that way. Interestingly enough, also my younger brother, you're younger than me, had decided as a very young child to go into ministry. So though he's a year younger, we are in the same class, only 11 months apart. And he got into pre-sem before I did. And then I followed in my younger brother's footsteps.
Wow. So you have a family full of those serving in ministry.
Yes.
Who would you say influenced you the most in considering pastoral ministry and that formation?
Yeah, probably at that point in time, to be honest, it was my dad, although he wasn't real pushy or anything, and going into ministry was very supportive of each of us wherever God led us in our lives and our vocations. But just the way he did it and the joy I saw in him in doing the ministry and the way it was so meaningful, his sharing of the gospel, it really impacted me. Down the road then, there was probably a pastor where I did a summer internship out at Bodega Bay, California, who also was very formative on me. But earlier time, definitely my father, I would say.
What are some of your memories of observing your dad as a pastor that really made a great impression on you and that you got to see him in action as a pastor?
Definitely the preaching, although it was interesting as a traveling dance DJ, I sometimes rolled in very late Saturday night or very early Sunday morning. And I was still at church Sunday morning, but I was kind of drifting, falling asleep during his sermons. He never took it personally, but it was a good, education for me to know when I see people drifting off, it doesn't necessarily mean my sermon's putting them to sleep, right? Could be other factors at play. But seeing him preach God's word, he really loved it. He had a unique way of communicating and making it meaningful and personal and memorable. And I know many of his fellow pastors have said that through the years too, that they just really loved his preaching. But then in addition to his preaching, just seeing the way he cared for people and his interactions with people, you could tell he really loved them. And he also wanted them to know how much Jesus loved them. Above all else, it's about the love of Christ and what he's done for us. So those are some of the things that shaped me. And then his sense of humor. Sorry you don't get the chance to know him because he's left us now to be with Jesus. But man, he had an amazing sense of humor.
Now, you mentioned your mom was a Lutheran teacher before she became a stay-at-home mom. Did she have stories to share with you about her service as a teacher?
She did have some, but she was a little more introverted than my father. And so she shared things maybe more personally within the family, right, than out in public. But she did share some stories about her teaching. She did love the kids. And then eventually, after all of us kids grew up, she went back into teaching. So our home base is Minot, North Dakota, but there's also an Air Force base just north of us at Minot, which I guess is a real coveted position for those who serve our nation in the Air Force, right? They really want to be up there. You can tell I'm being a little facetious. But so there was a Lutheran church up there and a Lutheran school. And so after we had grown up, she was up there teaching at their Lutheran school in the early childhood bracket was her kind of forte and what she loved.
Now, you mentioned that your brothers also prepared for seminary. And so your father was a pastor, your mom was a Lutheran teacher, brothers in ministry. Tell us more about how ministry seemed to influence your family and their choices for careers or vocation in the future.
Yeah, it's real interesting. So there's six kids in our family. Our fourth one, who's the youngest brother, left us at age 27 to be with Jesus. So he kind of died young. He was out in Hollywood trying to make his big break. And he was almost there, but not quite. So he was kind of an extra walk-on in films like The Bodyguard and some Jean-Claude Van Damme action movies and the original 90s show. But we always feel if he'd been here long enough, he would have ultimately been pulled into ministry service in the church too. But the rest of us, all five of us, ended up in ministry in one shape or another. So my younger brother, third of us six siblings, is a pastor. So he's been a pastor a year longer than me, even though he's a year younger than me. Our older brother was a Marine for a while, but now become a Lutheran teacher and principal. I think he's got around two decades as a Lutheran teacher and also some of those years as a principal after being in the Marine Corps. The first sister, who's the fifth in line, she was in Lutheran early childhood teaching for 5 years, trained up at Concordia St. Paul, like all of us siblings, other than my youngest one, we'll talk about in a moment. But after that, 5 years, she became a stay-at-home mom. She still got her younger child still at home with her, but she is active in music in her church. And then the youngest, our last sister, was with our family when they finally left North Dakota, moved out to California. They finally got tired of the snow in the winters. So she attended Concordia Irvine, whereas the rest of us had all been Concordia St. Paul, and was in their DCE program and has now been serving as a DCE since 2006 in California. And now she's in Florida in the Orlando area, Woodlands Lutheran, as a DCE.
Wow. So certainly it sounds like there was a great influence in your family that helped everyone see an interest, develop an interest in a life of service in the church. Where do you think that? Tell me more about what you think about that.
Well, I think it really was seeing the need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you look at people in this life, on the one hand, people think life is great. There's so much joy in it. There definitely is. But the joy this world gives, boy, it's fleeting. It's fickle. It's finicky. The joy of Christ sustains us through the sorrows of this life. And there are many of them. Some of them we expect, some of them we don't. Sorry, I started to feel a little emotional because one of those sorrows for us, but also joy for us, my youngest son left us at age 23. And tomorrow is his birthday. It's been 4.5 years since he went up to be with the Lord Jesus. But in our congregation, I was his kids ministry and youth ministry leader. And I don't know why God led me to do it. With the first two, I hadn't done it so much. But with him, first through fourth grade, I was kid min leader. Fourth through eighth, you know, middle school kid min leader. And then ninth through 12th, I was his high school youth leader. And the faith really impacted him. During his last days here on earth, he carried around his Bible from the Gideons at our local university. He was in the PhD program when he died. He had also attended undergraduate here at Iowa State. He carried that Bible around with him in his backpack and was really clinging to God's promises because he struggled with mental health. So it's a joy to know he's with Jesus, and we're certain his faith was strong. In fact, he was trying to talk to some atheists during his last days about believing in Jesus and why Jesus is true and the way, the truth, and the life. But so those are some of the things, because there are hardships in life. And with Christ, we've got hope, we've got strength, we've got peace, we've got an even greater life coming to us after this.
Indeed. Amen. Well, let's talk about your formation as a pastor, as a student at seminary. Let's talk about preparing to attend seminary. What did you do to prepare to attend seminary?
Good question. I went through pre-seminary up at Concordia St. Paul. Great pre-seminary program, great university, many professors who I remember dearly, who really impacted me. But I was in the pre-seminary program there. And I think when you're from North Dakota, you might think somewhat about the other Concordias, but St. Paul is definitely our closest. And that's where my mom had gone for her teacher training. She was originally from Wisconsin, Milwaukee, attended Milwaukee Lutheran High, and then went to Concordia St. Paul. So then all the siblings followed in her footsteps, other than, again, youngest sister Betsy, because they were living in California. And then in the pre-sem program, while on campus, I got a chance to be involved in some leadership roles. spiritual life director for the campus, and then leader of what was called CC Squared, Celebrate Christ, Communicate Christ. It was a weekend when local youth, I think they were still called junior high back then, not middle school, they were brought in and they were equipped and trained to go out and witness and share Jesus and do some canvassing door to door. So some of those things were very formative as well.
Let's talk about those years at seminary. What are some of your memories from seminary? What stands out for you?
Well, again, professors, some very dear professors, Dr. Donald Defner, now departed to be with the Lord in eternal life, very formative. He had some background in campus ministry, which is what I was interested in at that time and ended up in for my first call. So he was very formative. But all the professors there, just great people, wonderful people. Also, of course, that beloved Luther statue that you see at every Lutheran institution you go to. And on one occasion, without all the details being shared, a group of us hiding behind that Martin Luther statue late at night as security was going by.
So, which seminary or what seminary did you attend?
I was at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. And back then we loved to joke and call it the Logical Seminary. But actually, they're both great. Our father went to St. Louis. So, you know, either one's good depending on what you're looking for. I chose that in part, Fort Wayne, because my younger brother had gone there before me. So then I got to be there with him. And also our grandparents were nearby in Michigan City, Indiana. So we could see them on occasion.
What would you say was most challenging about seminary? We've talked about some of your highlights and your favorites. What would you say was most challenging about seminary?
Well, that's a good question. I can't think of any real difficulties other than maybe financial. Our dad was a pastor. My wife was my mom was staying at home raising the six kids, so they just had the one income. So there wasn't a lot of extra finances in our family, but the neat thing is the Lord always provides. And so there were people, there were congregations, but at certain points, the financial challenges were there, but he always answered and resolved things.
The Lord certainly does provide, and thank you for sharing that story. We're going to learn more about your family of church workers and the legacy that your family and your father has left to share with future church workers. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Eddie Bates. Today, we're talking with Reverend Dr. Todd Allen Jenks. He serves at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ames, Iowa. We've been learning about his pursuit of a formation to become a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, studying at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Before that, at Concordia University St. Paul in Minnesota. Now, you mentioned that your father served as a pastor, your brothers have gone into formation to serve as pastors, a sister serves as a DCE, your mom was a teacher. So lots of church workers in the family. Tell us about your father's studies at Concordia Seminary. I understand that there is a scholarship in honor and memory of your father. Tell us a little bit about his connection to Concordia Seminary and that scholarship.
Certainly. So my father was at Concordia Seminary St. Louis after attending Concordia Junior and Senior College in Fort Wayne. And regarding his studies at seminary, you asked me to talk about those. Well, I don't know a lot about his studies because he always tells us, and he's very honest, that he wasn't the best of students. He was good at socializing, connecting, studying God's word, but he wasn't necessarily the best of students. In fact, unfortunately, he never told us the name of the faculty member, and we talked about it after my dad's going to heaven to see if we could pinpoint the name, and we can't, but there was some concern about my dad in his studies, and there was a meeting amongst some of the faculty, And the one professor spoke up on my dad's behalf, and he said, hey, let's give him a chance. Let's give him a little longer. I kind of see something in this, Jinx. Reminds me of the fig tree, right? When Jesus said about give it another chance. We can always cut it down in the future if we need to. Well, fortunately, that professor, who my dad never forgot, stood up for him, had a great impact because my dad was able to continue the ministry. But even though he wasn't the best of students, he also likes to have fun. He likes to brag that he was the only student he can remember who was on both academic probation and personal probation at the same time. And he got on personal probation because he married my wife, my mom, his wife, and apparently they weren't supposed to marry without getting the seminary's permission. But he met her on vicarage. She was teaching at the Lutheran school there in Marshfield, Wisconsin. They got married. So now he was on personal probation for that besides his academic probation. But he did enjoy his studies, and he also especially talked about the preaching courses. And maybe it's because he did a little better in those or had more interest in those than some of the other courses. And he talks about a professor who said, hey, this Jenks here, he kind of knows how to sling the King's English.
So seminary was formative for him, it sounds like, for sure.
Yeah, definitely formative.
Well, tell us about the scholarship in honor and memory of your father.
Yeah, as we think about this scholarship that my siblings and I set up after my father had passed away, we were trying to think of what would be an appropriate memorial, because when someone passes, you know, that's what the family thinks of. Where should we suggest memorials be targeted? And we definitely thought of ministry. At first, we were thinking could be a broad church worker scholarship fund, because there are church workers of pastoral ministry, teaching, and also DCE in the family. But our dad was a pastor. He served for 60 years. And he was really kind of felt glad the Lord gave him that opportunity to put in those 60 years. And so we thought we would focus specifically on pastoral ministry. Also, that way it's a little more targeted rather than a little more diffused, right? And so we chose the seminary in St. Louis because that was his alma mater, kind of a way to honor him. But definitely just as much a goal in the hearts of all of us, the kids who are in ministry, is to prepare more church workers, in this case, pastors, for the ministry. Way back in the day, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Well, that's still the case today. The harvest is still plentiful, the workers are still few. We need more pastors to go out and serve the Lord's people through his word and sacrament, to minister to them, to care for them, to share with them those precious gifts found only in Jesus and in his word and sacraments.
So how has this scholarship been supported then through your family and those who wanted to support it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And because it's an endowed scholarship, endowed memorial scholarship, anyone who wants to give could give at any point. It will continue. So we wanted it to be of that nature too, not just a temporary scholarship that would go away, but what would be endowed and would continue. Various congregations where various siblings are serving in ministry have made donations. Individuals from those congregations, members of our family have made contributions, and anyone else who wants to at any time could send a check to Concordia Seminary St. Louis to the Reverend Casey Jenks Endowed Memorial Scholarship. But it's going to be a great way to help prepare more men to serve Jesus in his ministry.
Tell me more about that. How do you see this scholarship helping others pursue formation to serve as pastors?
Well, that's a good question. You know, there are still financial challenges. You asked me about my challenges at seminary, right? That was the biggest challenge. And when you're in the ministry, there are financial challenges as well. So I know we're not the only people, but in our family, we certainly don't want the finances to be a reason someone doesn't go to seminary, right? There are other people feel the same way. So this scholarship will be dispersed based on greatest financial need. However, the seminary decides it should be dispersed, but it will help men at the seminary preparing for ministry who have financial need. So it'll be of great assistance to them.
Outstanding. Now, I'm sure you are familiar with Set Apart to Serve, and certainly this scholarship is supporting future church workers and an encouragement to those who are considering church work as well. How do you and your congregation, how are you involved in encouraging both youth and adults to consider church work and consider formation to become church workers?
That's a neat question and a very important question. So in our congregation, one of the neat things is that when lay people see a young person who they think might be a good candidate to be in ministry, they go and talk to that person. They encourage them. Have you ever thought about it? We have a Youth Sunday each year where the youth participate in various ways in preparing and leading a service. And after that service, they go up and talk to individual youth and share that with them. Also, we now have currently on our staff this year a DC intern. May well turn into a called position, but he and I dialogue with each other. What are ways we can encourage our young people to consider church work, right? All of them to consider church work. And so we do that in a variety of ways, informal conversations, discussions during the worship service, connecting with their families. But I think this Set Apart to Serve initiative is also going to help our congregation and all congregations, right, with specific tips and ideas about how we can do this. And so it's needed. It's exciting, it's happening, and just looking forward to the impact that program will have as it plants seeds for the future of our church and of church workers in our church body.
Yeah, when we first started talking about Set Apart to Serve, we saw it as an initiative or a program. Now we really see it more as a part of our culture.
Awesome, yeah.
Shaping who we are. How do you see those things? You mentioned the adults in your congregation, when they see youth who are leading, encouraging them, speaking with them one-on-one, where do you see opportunities, other opportunities in your congregation for that culture of encouragement happening, whether it's encouraging youth to consider it or encouraging adults to consider opportunities to become a church worker?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the last part about adults, I think sometimes that's forgotten. Or adults want to encourage the young people and don't realize, hey, the Lord could be calling me into a second career, right, from what I'm doing into church work. But I like how you mentioned it's a culture, not just a program. I probably misspoke using that word.
Oh, no.
I probably meant it's a new initiative rather than a new program. But just the fact that our lay people go up and talk to the young people who they see as candidates for ministry, no one told them to do that, right? They just do it on their own. So that's, to me, a reflection of culture, a culture that exists. But what else? Well, I think it's wide open. And I think this broadcast, not mine per se, but in general, this ongoing broadcast, it's going to be a great way too, just to remind people, this is part of our culture. We should always be thinking about it, right? In fact, if it becomes part of our culture so much, we won't even have to hear a broadcast to be thinking about it and doing it, right?
That's right. Having those conversations on a regular basis to encourage both youth and adults to think about opportunities to serve in church work in the future. Well, yeah. Pastor, it's been great chatting with you today and glad to have you back in broadcasting for a little bit.
Well, thanks. And Lord's blessings to you and the broadcasting you do. So important and appreciated.
Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Todd Ellen Jenks, serves at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ames, Iowa. Our guest for our Set Apart to Serve conversation on the Coffee Hour today. You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.